and Darren. And the Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done on our morning show. You can hear it every morning on KQCJ Planet 93.9.
How about that?
This is the best of the best of the elite, the cream of the crop, if you'll have it.
If the children of the corn.
Welcome to Children of the Corn, Dave and Darren style. We'll get started with, I guess, the first one, right?
Yes, number one.
Number one.
Number one.
We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there was going to be this auction of props from different movies, and one of the things that we were keeping an eye on was an X-Wing fighter model that was used on screen in the original 1977 movie Star Wars. And they thought this thing could go for anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million.
What would the Death Star go for?
It's a fair question.
How big is the Death Star in real life? Like the size of a softball, you think?
Oh, I don't know. Well, there's parts of the Death Star, too, because when they do the trench run, right, there's like big, giant parts of it.
You could lose the Death Star.
Well, I mean, I know you've seen the movie, so I'm not ruining it for you. They blow up the Death Star. So maybe there isn't a Death Star around. Maybe they blew that up. One of the reasons that they thought this X-Wing fighter from the original Star Wars was going to go for so much money, again, $500,000 to $1 million, one of the reasons they thought it was going to go for so much is most of the models that they built for the movie, they blew up for that battle on the Death Star.
Mm.
This X-Wing model was used in the movie for the squadron leader, Garvin Drace, played by the late Drew Henley. Most of these models got blown up by pyrotechnics while they were filming the Death Star sequence.
So the Death Star got blown up in the first movie?
And the third movie.
Well, then where were their offices for the second movie?
Just out in space. The Death Star wasn't their headquarters. No. The Empire's offices, as you put it, would have been on Coruscant, which is a planet. The Death Star was a space station. It wasn't like where they all
lived. That wasn't Darth Vader's home office.
No. Well, he was assigned there, but that's not, no. Darth Vader actually has a castle that he lives on the fiery planet of Mustafar. His home office is on Mustafar.
Right, but he had an office on the Death Star.
I'm sure, yeah.
He had a desk.
Well, he had like a meditation chamber, probably, where he would go, and like a back to tank where he could go swim around.
Like a calendar or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a desk calendar.
Right. The desk, and he's got like the cubes with the numbers on it to let him know what day it is. Doris, hold all my calls. Something like that, probably. But yeah, his office got blown up, but the Death Star was not the headquarters of the Empire. I could see why you would make that assumption.
So that's not where they're walking around.
Who's walking around?
Like Darth Vader and his...
Well, he was...
Sycophants.
Now, he wasn't on the Death Star when it blew up because he tried to go out in his Darth Vader TIE fire and put an end to the Rebel assault, you see. And then he got shot out of the Death Star and spun around in space for a long time. And then he went back to work.
Stuck the landing, though.
On his destroyer, his Imperial destroyer, which I believe was called the Executor.
Now, how do you know some of these words? Because were they mentioned in the movie? Like where his...
Well, I mean, some of it is from movies, and some of it is just from being an absolute nerd for this stuff.
See, but that doesn't seem really fair to the person who's just going to the movie.
Well, you wouldn't have known about Coruscant if you just watched the first Star Wars.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's a bunch of movies where they tie all of this together.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
The X-Wing fighter went up on sale last night at the prop store auction. It was estimated to go for $500,000 to $1 million. And the final price when this thing was sold last
night... How nervous do you think people were?
About what?
Just the whole goings-on.
Oh, I imagine there were some...
Nervous stomachs?
Yeah, there were people that really wanted it, and then the bidding war starts. And when it was all said and done, when the gavel dropped on the X-Wing fighter model used in the original Star Wars, it went for $2.375 million.
Oh, my God.
Almost $2.4 million for a model.
Who do you think bought it? Or does it say?
It doesn't say. We don't know. I imagine somebody with a lot of dough. I'm going to guess a rich person at some point.
What would be the most prized article from the world of Star Wars?
Hmm. Like a prop from the movies?
Would it be like R2-D2?
Well, there's lots of R2-D2s, though.
From the movie?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when...
Like the original one.
When R2-D2 has two legs, that was when Kenny Baker was inside. Okay. When he has three legs, that's when it's just a fully remote control robot.
Are you saying that
robot.
Maybe Kenny Baker might be the...
Well, Kenny's no longer with us.
Oh, okay, well then...
I have a Kenny Baker autograph that I'm very very pleased with.
Where's that at?
It's in a very special place. If you want to come over, I'll show it to you. But I'm going to need you to wash your hands. The model screen...
Is it like in a notebook?
No. No, I have an area where I keep all of my vintage. It's a signed Star Wars trading card with his official signature.
That is
on it.
Presented?
Yeah. Yeah, I have it in some plastic. I have it in protective. It's wrapped up and put in some protective plastic. Along with a Peter Mayhew's autographed. Ever heard of him? Chewbacca.
So you met these people?
No, I just acquired the cards. You could get. And when you buy Star Wars cards, every once in a while, they'll just randomly have an autograph in there.
Oh, so you just randomly have an autograph.
Yeah.
Oh, that's convenient.
Well, it is convenient. I'm not going to track these people down.
Oh, I just randomly have a Mickey Mantle autograph rookie card.
And I have the autographs of...
Signed All-American Boy.
I have both of the autographs of the actors who played Uncle Owen.
Who's
Star
Uncle
Wars.
Owen?
Uncle Owen is Luke Skywalker's uncle, named Owen. Owen Lars.
I don't think that's right.
Yes, it is.
I don't think.
Yeah, he is Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. I wouldn't make this up.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, naturally. I got everyone
Admiral Halsey.
Who's ever played an Owen in the Star Wars movies. I have their autograph as well. And if there's ever a Dave on the... Star Wars.
Were there any Daves in Star Wars?
There weren't, although in the comic books, no, not in the comic books. There's a deleted scene in the original Star Wars where Han Solo has a girlfriend named Jenny, but they cut that out of the movie.
There's a Star Wars comic book?
Well, oh God, there's so many. Yes, there's tons of books and all manner of storytelling from a galaxy far, far away.
Why don't they ever have that?
Have what?
Like a Star Wars trivia night.
Oh, they do all the time.
Or like a Star Wars Jeopardy.
Ooh, that would be good. That would be good.
And bring in some sort of tournament of champions.
Just Star Wars
just
Jeopardy?
Just Star Wars for like a some sort of battle royal.
I don't.
Some sort of like for a week
I don't
or
hate,
a month.
I don't hate this at all. I love what you're doing here. The Star Wars Jeopardy. By the way, the host of Jeopardy, Miam Bialik, saying that she's got COVID.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like whenever a celebrity gets COVID, it's the same thing where it's like, I feel fine, you know, I'm recovering, everything's fine. She says, I'm really scared. She says she's terrified.
Well, is she protected?
I imagine she is. She is vaccinated and boosted, so yeah, she should be fine. Yeah. She's feeling physically and mentally. She has this 7-minute clip where she talks about, you know, how she's feeling. But she says she's got a lot of anxiety about it. And then she says, part of me feels guilty that I went out. I feel sad and I'm worried. And yeah, she goes on and on to talk about how concerned she is. And she says she's feeling better. So that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
This Star Wars model going for... $2.3 million, almost $2.4 million. And yeah, they don't say who ended up buying it. I don't even know where you would put this thing.
How would you do in Star Wars Jeopardy?
Oh, I would probably...
Better than general Jeopardy, or no?
No, because Star Wars Jeopardy can get into some really...
Pretty deep in the weeds.
Deep stuff, yeah. When one of the movies came out, there was a Star Wars trivia night. and
here in town?
Yeah. Went out to like Pints or something. And they were giving away tickets to see one of the Star Wars. Maybe it was Force Awakens. And I and a bunch of fellow Star Wars fanatics got a team together.
And how'd you do?
We were called the we were like a family.
Yeah.
And the name of
I can't wait to hear what the team name was.
The Force Kin.
What?
We were the Force Kin, you know, because we were like a family. We were kin.
Like a foreskin?
Oh, I guess it does kind of sound like that when you say it out loud. Yeah, we were the Force Kin. And
classy.
I don't even think we finished in the top three. The questions get very...
Who put the questions together?
Well, it was one of those, like, traveling...
Oh, it was an actual professional...
Trivia night, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where they had all the speakers and all of that. It was a lot of fun.
How many people were dressed up as Star Wars characters?
Oh, I don't know that anyone was, but this is a while ago. It's possible somebody was. Nobody in my team was. None of the Force kin were dressed up in costumes. I just wanted to focus on, you know, trying to win those tickets, man.
When you guys were done at the end of the evening, did you leave a tip?
No. Oh, I see.
I hope that was the case.
Yes, of course.
I know
we
sometimes
did.
People forget to.
No, we did.
Consider yourself zinged.
The zing of the day.
We absolutely did. Yeah, but we didn't win the tickets.
Yeah.
So if you're asking if I had a chance between, like, if you're saying I could be on Star Wars Jeopardy or just Jeopardy,
yeah,
I would go with regular Jeopardy.
General Jeopardy.
Yeah. I know, how do I say this without sounding like a jerk? I know a lot more about a lot of stuff than I do just Star Wars.
I know stuff.
I know
things.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
Yep.
Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
I'm willing to give this a go. I've got a quiz here that's said to be very hard.
How many questions?
You know what? I just kind of skimmed over it because I didn't want to look too much at it.
Well, yeah, you don't want
to have any. Yeah, I didn't want to have any preconceived notions here.
But you did, didn't you?
This is Star Wars Jeopardy.
And I'll play alongside you.
Yeah, let's see how you do. So help me God, if you get a higher score than me. To break my little heart in 12 different pieces.
All right, how do we buzz in?
All right, well, the categories are thank you, Miko. That'll be enough. This is just a very hard Star Wars trivia quiz.
Okay.
Let's see how we do here. Now, this is a multiple choice quiz.
Well, I like
which
that.
Is kind of cheating. Question number one. What planet was Jango Fett from? Jango Fett. Yes, Darren.
North Korea.
That's not a planet. It says here, Coruscant, Mandalore, Tatooine, Kamino, or he wasn't born on a planet.
Not born on a planet.
Well, he's not technically Mandalorian, but I know he's not from Coruscant, Tatooine, or Kamino.
What makes you Mandalorian?
Well, you walk the way of the Mandalore, don't you?
Oh, brother.
I'm going to say Mandalore. We'll see how I do on that. He's not... They call him Mandalorian and his son Mandalorian, but they're not Mandalorian.
And the answer is?
I don't know. I've got to go through the rest of this quiz here.
Okay.
Which of the following was not an actor of Darth Vader? David Prowse, Hayden Christensen, James Earl Jones, Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd.
I'm very confused by this. No, Jake Lloyd was little Darth Vader. He was little Anakin Skywalker. Which of the following was not an actor of Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker? David Prowse, Hayden Christensen, James Earl Jones, or Jake Lloyd? All of them played the role, or at least one of the roles, so I don't understand
James Earl, I think James Earl Jones just the voice.
So I go with James Earl Jones because he's the voice?
He's just the voice.
Okay, so he's not technically an actor.
I just didn't... I had no idea it was going to be this easy.
Which of the following is not related to Mother Talzane? Savage Opress, Asajj Ventress, Darth Maul, or Dathomir? Well, Dathomir is where she's from, and Savage Opress and Darth Maul, I'll say, I'll say Asajj Ventress. Did Luke Skywalker own a dog?
Yes.
He did? I'm going to say false, but you say he did, that Luke Skywalker had a dog.
A bunch of them.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that. What lightsaber does Obi-Wan, what lightsaber form does Obi-Wan Kenobi use?
Texas Instruments.
It says Shia Cho Makashi Sorosu Atari Neiman.
Atari.
All right, I'm going to go, I'm guessing here. I don't even know what that means. Which of the following groups of actors disliked each other? Han Solo and Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker and Leia, Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Vader and the Emperor, C-3PO and R2-D2. Now, this one I know.
D.
Which is?
E.
Which one
are you
going?
None of the above.
That's not an option. Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker were C-3PO and R2-D2. Could not stand one.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what the problem was, but the two droids in real life hated each other's guts.
Well, that ruins the movie for me.
What is the Star Wars timeline based off of? Okay, I know that's the Battle of Yavin. I got that one. What is Count Dooku's Sith name? He was Darth Tyrannus. That one I'm certain of. Which planet is Han Solo from? He's from Corellia. Everyone knows that. Which of the following is not one of the names of the Force-sensitive babies rescued by the rebels? I have no idea. Yes, Darren?
Yoda.
Yoda's not a baby. Which of the following Clone Wars battles is listed after the battle that occurred in a later time period? Oh, gosh, I'll never get this. I'm going to just go ahead and guess. What was the code name given to Return of the Jedi by movie makers to keep fans off scent during filming?
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, right.
What was, like, a working title?
Well, this is pretty well known. So when they were making the sequel to Star Wars.
Second one.
Yeah, the Empire Strikes Back. They called it Star Wars 2, and then they called it The Empire Strikes Back. And the problem with that was when people knew that Star Wars 2 was coming to film, they would jack up the prices of everything. So what they did for Return of the Jedi is they called it Blue Harvest so that nobody knew what it was, and then they didn't have to pay so much for stuff.
What do you mean they jacked up the prices?
Well, like, if you lived in a town,
yeah,
and you knew that Star Wars 2 was coming to film and you owned a hotel,
oh,
now the rooms are $500 a night because Star Wars is coming. They got money.
Yeah.
But if you're just Blue Harvest, it's like, well,
okay.
You know what I mean? You don't want to... I think that was... It was not so much about keeping fans off of the scent. I think it was more about saving money. Which of the following is not a character of Spaceballs? Barf, Goop, Yogurt, Princess Vespin, or Pizza the Hut?
Well, why do they throw that in there?
I agree. That's not a question. It's an appropriate question to ask. But the answer is Goop, of course. What's the name of Jabba's pet? Oh, that's Salacious B. Crumb. Everybody knows that. Which of the following actors like the Star Wars franchise? What? I think Anthony Daniels is a fan. How many more of these questions are there? Okay, there's only a couple more questions here. What happened to Darth Maul? Well, this is tricky.
Went the way of all malls. It closed down.
I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi sliced him in half, but he didn't kill him. So I don't know. Who said it's a trap? Now you know this one. Which Star Wars character gives us this line, Darren? It's a trap. That, of course, is...
Fish head.
Yes! I'll accept that. Admiral Ackbar.
Ackbar.
You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. What was Obi-Wan Kenobi referring to? That's Mos Eisley Spaceport. Which of the following pilots survived through the original trilogy? That would be Wedge Antilles. In the Battle of Yavin, what was Luke Skywalker's call sign? I think he was Red 5, yeah? I'll submit my answers here.
And?
85th percentile.
Well, that's what you said.
That's my goal. Maybe I should go on Star Wars Jeopardy if that becomes a thing.
With the idea of Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
There has to be like some sort of microbrew out there that's called Blue Harvest.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's like a Star Wars themed beer that's not really Star Wars themed because they're not going to pay for a Star Wars theme.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. I bet there's a ton of them. Yeah. I'm sure there. Let me just Google Blue Harvest beer. I bet there's.
Or like a Star Wars grocery store.
There's an Iowa brewery that makes a beer out of millennial hops. That's the type of hop. It's called Millennials, and they call it Millennial Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's Blue Harvest beers all over the place.
Sure.
We got to take this real quick break, and 85 percentile. That's what I go for. That's how I roll.
I guess what you know what you're talking about. How did I do?
Not as well. You did not win, not this time around.
I think that Yoda question answer was correct, though.
Number two.
Oh, goodness.
Got a story here from Chicago, Illinois. The toddling town. You know, they call it the Windy City. Did I tell you my experience when I was there? Was it not this last week, but
2 weeks
before
ago?
That? Yeah.
2 weekends
where,
ago?
Rather than taking
Fire
Ubers,
Tony!
Rather than taking Ubers, we were getting on these divvy bikes and just riding bicycles around the town.
Oh boy, you're asking for it.
It was something else, you know? A day of having a couple of beers, and the next thing you know, you're riding on a bike in downtown Chicago traffic. There were a couple times I thought, I had a good run. But
Kidding. Talk about keeping your head on a swivel.
Here's where the story ends. Exactly.
This was a bad idea.
Yeah, my buddy's got like this membership, a year-long membership for these bikes. So you just use your phone and then it unlocks the bike and
you
just
grab
take
it
all around and then
you just return it wherever there's another place to return it, huh?
It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd get away with that here. Not yet, anyway. But it was pretty cool riding around on these bikes. I survived.
In Chicago traffic.
Yeah.
And you thought that was a good idea.
Well, I mean, it wasn't on like the Eisenhower.
I got out of the Dan Ryan. What am I doing?
We'd get off on the Red Line, and then he lives, you know, quite a while from the Red Line because he lives in like the West Loop. So it's like, okay, now we're going to get on these bicycles. And at first I thought,
sure we are.
No, really. Let's do the Ubers. I can get one here. But the Ubers were like, I don't know. Crazy expensive. So it's like $2 or $3 for the bike, and then you just ride around, and it was great. I think that might be the only way to get around town for me from now on.
I think you might be talking about the bikes that my nephew, a guy that he played football with,
yeah,
took like a quick little video of it.
Uh-huh.
I think it ended up costing him some money.
Well,
in that he thought it'd be funny to ride it into Lake Michigan.
No, that's not that's not encouraged.
Oh, I'm not encouraging it.
This story is about a young couple in love who's going to get married, and a bridal and special occasion boutique, Cage's Bridal and Special Occasion Boutique. It's on West Irving Park Road. Woman, Kasia, who owns the place, she gets this call on the phone. She says, the groom calls me, frantic as hell, crying practically. Can you help me? My bride bought her dress with you last year.
Yeah.
And I understand that she picked it up, but what I need to do is reorder it. And she says,
what happened?
She says, sure, we can reorder it, but that's odd that you would ask to do that. That's not usually how it works. She says, I'm thinking, why is the groom calling me?
Yeah. What did you do to it?
Is this like a ploy to find out information?
Yeah.
The groom said that while he had already seen the dress, he didn't really know anything about it. And he was really just single-mindedly refocused. It's very important that I reorder it, and we got to reorder it quickly.
What'd you do?
So Kay's just trying to figure out what's going on, doing some troubleshooting. And she says, when are you getting married? He says, November. She says, you know, I don't know that we'd be able to get the dress and get all the alterations done.
Get it done.
In time for this wedding in November, because it's a lot of work. But if the dress that you already bought needs a couple of tweaks,
yeah,
have the bride bring that in. That's no big deal.
That's not what I'm talking about.
That's exactly what he says. He just cuts her off. He goes, no.
No, that's not.
Listen to me. Alterations are not an option because there is nothing to alter. What I need to know is if you can reorder this exact same dress.
Yeah.
So she makes some phone calls. She calls the manufacturer of the dress, and she learns that because of the customizations, it's going to take a while to remake the dress.
Yeah.
So she calls the prospective groom up, and she says, I talked to them. This is what they said. This guy loses it. He breaks down in tears, and then he hands the phone to the bride's brother, right?
Yep.
And the brother of the bride explains what happens.
You talk now.
I can't even tell you.
I can't talk anymore. I can't. I can't talk.
Give me the phone. Can't believe we're letting you marry my sister.
To begin with.
Well, knock it off with that crying.
Just to begin with.
For crying out loud. The brother explains to the bridal boutique lady here. He says, it's an unfortunate situation. The bride gave the dress to our mom to go ahead and store for safekeeping. Okay? This is the bride's brother talking. So mom's got the dress.
Her mom.
Yeah. The bride's mom and the guy who's on the phone, because he can keep it together.
Yeah.
He says, the bride gave the dress to our mother to go ahead and store in safekeeping.
Yeah.
And my mom did just that. She put it in her closet.
Uh-huh.
No one goes in my mom's closet, just my mom.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, grandma dies. Their grandmother passes away.
Yes.
Grandpa was buried in his tuxedo, and grandma wanted to be buried in her wedding gown. Mom told me and my future brother-in-law to go get grandma's wedding dress out of the closet. So we did. We didn't know to get the box. We took the bag. And being guys, they didn't know any better.
Wow.
They just saw the wedding dress in the closet.
Mm.
And they grabbed it, and they dropped it off at the funeral home. So then Kasia asked the question that you're about to ask.
How do you allow that to happen?
How do you not notice that grandma's in the wedding dress that you have just purchased?
Right.
Closed casket. Everything was closed casket. So no one knew that the wedding dress is on grandma. In fact, the bride still does not know.
Still doesn't know that grandma's got the dress.
Grandma's wearing her wedding dress.
Oh, boy.
6 feet under the ground.
Don't you want a different dress now?
Grandma has been buried in the bride's dress for 2 weeks. And the mother of the bride just put things together when she was going through her closet and was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where's my daughter's dress? And why is grandma's dress that still she was supposed to be buried in still in my closet?
What's that you say?
Boys, get up here.
Oh, no.
So now, Kasia, who runs this bridal place,
dummies.
The groom and the bride's brother are scrambling to fix this without upsetting the bride.
Ugh.
And the woman who owns the bridal place is doing her best to get the manufacturer to make it on time.
Uh-huh. But this is the sort of thing you can never tell her. If you tell her,
it's gonna come up. It's gonna come up, but you can't keep.
Don't you want
like
a different
secret.
Wedding dress?
I should think that you would. I would. She says here, my heart breaks for them. You can't make this up. This is bananas.
Bananas.
Yeah. People suggesting, well, why don't they take grandma's wedding dress?
No.
And have the bride wear that.
No.
As a way to honor her grandmother.
Who's got my dress on?
That would probably make the most sense.
No.
But.
No.
All of these moving parts, with the brother, the groom, and the mom all being in on it, you think they're going to be able to pull off replacing that dress exactly so that she has no idea that the dress that she actually purchased is on her rotting grandmother at this moment in time?
Okay. Now maybe
there's no chance.
Maybe this is just a guy being a guy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pretend to be the bride.
Yeah.
If you sit me down with my mom, my brother,
right,
and the person I'm going to marry.
Yes.
and you tell me this, I probably would crack up and say, you guys are idiots. And let's get a different dress made. I don't want that dress.
You can't keep it a secret, too, because for the rest of your life now, everybody's got this on each other.
Yeah,
right?
You can't do
like,
it.
Like, if you upset the brother-in-law at a family gathering 20 years from now, you go...
You can just blackmail people for...
Right. How about I tell my sister where our wedding dress is?
Yeah, you can't do it. I mean, okay, say you're the bride. Would you be that... Would you be that tore up about it? Or would you be able to say, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Let's get a different dress.
I'm going to echo your sentiment, but we're two guys, right? You know what I wore to my wedding? Something I rented at the mall.
No, I know.
What do I care?
I know.
So the idea of...
But this idea that, oh, that was my dress. My beautiful... dress.
Yeah, I know.
There's only one. Yeah, it is only one. Yeah. And it's with grandma now.
And she's not giving it back.
So let's go get you another dress
Can we dig it up?
That is
we're
not going to exhume grandma.
Get her out of my dress.
I still want to wear it. Can't we just put her in like a track suit? I don't know. I don't think I'd have that big a problem with it. I would be, now, plus the fact I'd be able to for the rest of your days.
Yeah.
Hey, dummy.
Yeah.
Remember when I need something done? Hey, dum-dum.
The leverage that you
would have. Yeah, the leverage you would have
would be worth all of it.
Is worth it.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. I just don't think you're not going to be able to pull this off.
No, it's just it's
you're much
gonna
better
try to,
off
you're
going to
try to
her
pull
down.
This off for the next 40 years.
Yeah, there's no chance. There's no chance that they get away with this. It was a $2,300 wedding.
Well, I'm not
rendered unwearable.
I'm not saying that you're not going to take a bit of a financial hit. That is going to happen. Get me another dress.
Number three. They ask people, is it okay to pee in a pool? And 6% of people said it's okay to pee in a pool. of people.
What the hell is the world?
Now, we're not asking you, have you peed in a pool? We're just asking,
do you think it's okay?
Is it okay?
Is it okay
and
to pee in a pool?
6% are willing to say, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's
fine.
There's
chlorine in there.
It's fine.
That's just fine.
Let me ask you this, though. Is it okay to pee in, like, the ocean or a lake or, like, the Mississippi River? If you were in the river... Would it be okay to pee just
well,
right in the river?
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you see a bunch of people tubing, you know, they're out on the river, they're out on the,
Yeah.
They're out tubing on the river.
Uh-huh.
How many pee breaks do they take?
Well, what are you going to do? Bring the boat in and go to the bathroom? No. No. You can pee in a lake or the river. Because there's already animals peeing in the river and the lakes, right? 48% of people say it's okay to pee in a lake or a river or the ocean, but not in a swimming pool, which is probably where I would put myself. But 41% say no, you don't pee in the ocean and you don't pee in a swimming pool.
Well, they don't go tubing then.
Right? I mean, when we used to go out to... Way out looking for the coho salmon.
What, I have not been in a natural body of water in a while.
To just whip it out and go over the side of a boat, that's fine if it's number one, right? 1% of people, by the way, say it's okay to pee in a pool, but not in the ocean. How does that make any sense? When 1% of people say it's perfectly fine to pee in the pool, but not in the sea.
Not 1%, one guy says.
I think.
It's one guy who says it. I'll tell you what I take umbrage with.
6% of people say it's okay to swim in a, to pee in a pool, but only 1% of that 6% say you shouldn't do it in the ocean or a river or a lake. 41% say neither the sea nor a swimming pool you should pee in. And then 6%, of course, my favorite answer is 6% that say, I don't know. I can't figure this out. Is it okay to swim in a pool? A lot of factors to consider. I can't just give you an answer on this. Do you think men would be more apt to say it's okay to pee in a pool than women?
Well, I mean, at first blush, I'd say yes, but maybe no.
Men do say.
Yeah, they do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, men say that it's okay to pee in a pool at more than
at a higher number.
Yeah, at more than double the rate that women respondents do. You ever been to a swim-up bar?
Yeah, I think so.
It's always troubling when you're there for a long time and you notice that
no one's ever getting out of
it. People don't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You're getting out of the pool and then you come back and it's like, hey,
That
was my third trip out of the pool.
And everyone else hasn't left once.
Right. Pinky ring over there is holding court.
And he's hitting it pretty good.
He's going at a pretty good clip. Yeah. Yeah, drinking yards of some sort of lager. And meanwhile, I don't know.
Why am I the only one going to the bathroom?
Didn't they used to say when you were a kid that they... Like, did they ever tell you that they treated the pool?
Well, sure, they told everybody that.
With some sort of chlorine that would make your pee change color so we'd know if you were peeing in the pool. But that's apocryphal, right? That's now, not
that,
a real
well,
thing.
Well, yeah, but that was in one of those Adam Sandler movies. I think, was it Grown Ups or Grown Ups 2?
I have not
Someone's
seen
in the pool, and they're talking about that, and they're talking about how that's just an old wives' tale. And he goes ahead and pees, and then there is a big purple cloud that takes place.
But that's not a real thing.
No, but that's what shows up in the movie.
Yeah.
That, you know, the idea that it's just an old wives' tale turns out it's true.
Oh, no. Well, that would be a pretty neat trick if they could activate the chlorine in such a way that when the urea...
No one would ever go in a pool again.
Yeah, you would think. Should you pee in the pool or use a proper restroom? Of course, there's decorum and there's not being a scuzz bucket, but a urologist is weighing in here.
Yeah.
And says there are scientific pros and cons to consider in favor of holding it or not. Your urine is 95% water. The other 5% are byproducts of the food and drink that you take in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Urea is a compound produced in your liver that serves as a vehicle for disposing of excess ammonia and nitrogen. Uric acid, which is produced when your body digests certain foods and liquids like beer, is an antioxidant that also helps repair damaged cells. Electrolytes like sodium, chloride, potassium, and phosphorus are also in there. And there's microscopic debris, such as dead blood cells. And depending on your lifestyle, there could be chemical traces of tobacco, drugs, vitamins, or other stuff that's filtered out of your blood by your kidneys. They say here that holding your pee for a few minutes while you get out of the pool and go to the bathroom might be uncomfortable, but it's not dangerous. Is well, the argument no, people that pee be... at... Do pool peers say, listen, holding it in, you could do a lot of damage to yourself. Is that what they're saying? Pee isn't generally dangerous. None of the substances found in urine are in large enough amounts to be dangerous. So if you decide to go in the pool or you swim in someone else's whiz, it's not harmful. But urine is not sterile. It's like the surface of your skin. The bladder contains a mix of healthy bacteria. The idea that your urine is sterile, that's something...
Who said that?
Well, yeah, I've heard that in movies. Like, oh, it's sterile. There's nothing to worry about. No, there's a lot to worry about. So, yeah, get out of the pool, monsters. 6% of people.
Haven't been in a pool in a long time either.
No?
Number four.
I'm tired of summer.
You've already had enough?
Ugh.
You know, I have kind of a controversial take on things. I think my favorite season is fall, and no one else thinks that.
Everyone thinks that.
I'm very precious in my opinions, please. Fall, I actually enjoy it more than summer, if you can wrap your head around that.
How dare you?
You're probably wondering about this iguana that I have on a leash. I'm a very interesting person. Scientists are saying that they're
I'm an introvert.
I heard a term this week, and I'd never heard it before. And is it exovert? It's when you're an introvert and you're an extrovert at the same time. Does that make sense? Like you can
that
be...
That you won't shut up at your house?
When you're both... Okay, the word is ambivert. You know, like ambidextrous.
I don't go anywhere, but I won't shut up.
An ambivert is someone who exhibits qualities of both introversion and extroversion and can flip into either depending on their mood, context, and goals. So you can be an outgoing introvert.
It could be anybody.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I heard that term, ambivert, I thought, well, golly, that's me. And then the more I thought about it, that's probably everybody, right? Right,
just depending on how you... It's pretty, happen to feel.
It's pretty rare to be just an introvert or just an extrovert, right? But I think that we've been taught that it's one or the other.
You're neither.
You're both.
You're both.
Yeah. An introvert can be outgoing in certain situations around certain people or when they absolutely need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an omnivert. An omnivert can be quiet, reserved, and fearless, but also outgoing.
And eats leaves.
And yes.
A lot of times you'll see him up in a tree eating leaves.
So ambivert and omnivert are essentially the same thing. You're not a pure introvert. You're not a shy person. You're not an incredibly outgoing person or extroverted. You're both. So ambivert or omnivert. I think I'm more ambivert than omnivert. But now we're enjoying word salad, like an omnivert would enjoy. Just leaves. Scientists...
Only introverted when it's dark out.
And they have Audi belly buttons, I think is also a quality of ambiverts and omnivorts. Scientists think there might be life in our solar system. Not just in our universe. Without question, there's life somewhere else in the universe. When you think of the billions upon billions of planets. But there may be life a lot closer than we thought. Venus. They think there could be life on Venus. Goddess of the mountain top!
Thank you, Frankie.
Did he do this? Did Frankie do Venus?
Did a different Venus.
Life may have been discovered on Venus with a breakthrough showing that the clouds on Venus are more habitable than we previously thought. Until pretty recently, we thought that Venus was one of the least likely places in our solar system where we would find alien life because it's the hottest planet. Venus is hotter than Mercury, which is crazy because Mercury is a lot closer to the sun than Venus is. A major discovery made a couple of years ago with evidence of phosphine. That's a molecule that is formed as a result of life processes when it's here on Earth. The findings were hotly disputed first because these same scientists admitted that they could have made an error in the amount of phosphine that they thought they had found. God, being a scientist has got to be the greatest job ever.
What are you doing today?
Well, we think we found something, but it's possible we didn't. I'm going to write a paper about that for the next couple of years. There's also some doubt about how life forms could have resistance to the droplets of sulfuric acid that's in the clouds. Yeah, when it's raining acid, that's probably not great for life. But that's the life that we know here on Earth.
Congratulate me, my new grant came in.
This new study published in a scientific journal the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and yes, of course, we do subscribe to that journal, it says that the presence of ammonia could make life a possibility by neutralizing the acid. Scientists at MIT, that's your Massachusetts Institute of Technology, believe that the ammonia could spark a chain of chemical reactions leading to making life a realistic possibility on Venus, a planet you can see with your eyes. When you go out at night, it's more often than not the only thing you can see. They say here this research provides a transformative hypothesis for the chemistry of the atmosphere, cloud layers of Venus, while reconciling decades-long atmospheric anomalies. They think the clouds are not entirely made up of sulfuric acid, but partially composed of ammonia salt slurries, which may be the result of biological production of ammonia in cloud droplets. So off we go to Venus. If life exists, I mean, there is some life that exists in acidic environments here on Earth, but it's nothing like the environment would be on Venus. Unless they figured out a way to neutralize the acid that's fallen from the sky. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But I say, full speed ahead to Venus.
Hey, Venus.
Venus, if you will.
Five.
Number five.
Every once in a while, we like to share these with you. These are people reaching out to strangers on the internet and asking, hey, was I a jerk? Three different stories here from three different individuals who have had something happen to them and acting in a way that has them
questioning themselves.
Questioning their very motives. Exactly. Am I in the wrong here? We'll start with this one. Am I a jerk for singing a song to my wife at our wedding and making her angry?
Well, let's hear about the song you sang.
I just got married last week. My wife and I are both in our 30s. I am Mexican. She is American. But we both grew up in the U.S., and both of our families know both languages.
Okay.
My wife planned every bit of the wedding and was very controlling and a nervous bride. But all right, I get that she was stressed. During the reception, I went to the band and asked them to play a song for me to sing to my new wife. It was Te Amare by Miguel Bosé. It was the song from our first date in a really bad Mexican restaurant. So it's become a long-standing joke between us.
Okay.
The guests all loved the song. My mother-in-law cried and told me it was beautiful. But my bride seemed upset. I asked her what was wrong, and she said I was being a jerk for taking the spotlight to enforce my ethnicity and not just let the band sing our song for us. You're up there acting all Mexican, stealing focus from me. That's...
You were trying to spotlight the fact that you're a Mexican.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
So am I the jerk here?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, no. That's weird.
Yeah, her takeaway is strange.
For her to say you're trying to enforce your ethnicity, good luck
what
unpacking.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, you can go ahead and try and unpack that for the rest of your life. Or you make a call and you
what did you on. What would she have wanted you to sing? I gotta be me?
I don't think she wanted him to sing.
Sing
anything.
At all.
Like, that was not what she had planned in the day. But no.
You didn't run that past me. Everything was going just fine.
You had to enforce your ethnicity, and it just made the whole wedding ruined. You've ruined it. Number two, am I the jerk for not letting my coworker drive my brand new car? In my job, I go out of town a lot. Lots of hotels and camp work. Sometimes I drive my own vehicle. If I'm at a hotel, it gives me more freedom after a shift, not having to wait around for a crew truck. My last job I was going on, I was taking my car. My coworker, Terry, was going to travel with me. However, he told my supervisor he has anxiety when he's a passenger in a vehicle, and he needs to be the one that drives.
Well, then bring your own car.
my boss told me that Terry was going to drive, and I said, no, it's my truck, and only I get to drive it. He argued and threatened to write me up for insubordination. Well, I pretty much laughed at that because he can't write me up for not letting someone else use my personal property. Company's not paying for my gas or mileage or upkeep. Well, it turned into a screaming match, and I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm not driving anyone else but me.
Yeah, no one's riding with me now.
I said either I drive my truck or the truck doesn't go at all. I was then told that either Terry could drive. I'd either let Terry
give the keys to Terry.
Terry drive, or I could just go home. So
what's with this manager?
I chose to go home. I told Terry to get all of his gear out of my truck. And my supervisor said to me, no, you're going home, but we're still going to use your truck.
What?
I gave Terry one more chance to take his stuff from my truck. Again, he refused.
Uh-huh.
Then I tried to take his gear out of my truck, and Terry started screaming at me for touching his stuff. Well, I left the shop with all of his stuff and all of my stuff, and I drove to his house, and I got his wife to come and get it. And then I went home.
Am I the jerk here?
You
work with lunatics.
Yeah, you need to get another job, man.
What is going on?
Oh, no, we're using your truck. You go home. You don't get to use your truck anymore because of the way you're acting, mister.
It's a very interesting management style.
You're going to write me up for what now?
Oh, that's crazy.
Finally, am I a jerk for saying I don't like Johnny Depp? Our author begins here, quote, I am a 42-year-old man.
Uh-huh.
My sister has a friend named Emmy, who I have a huge crush on.
Okay.
She's always over at my sister's place.
Yeah. You like her.
I tried to show my interest, but I feel like she never was really responsive to my advances.
Yeah.
Emmy
doesn't get it.
Is a huge fan of Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And she keeps talking about how hot he is.
Yeah.
I don't like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
His acting is too flamboyant, and I just don't care for him and his smirks. His mannerisms.
Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah.
I like the cologne he did with Dior, but that's it.
Oh boy.
Pirates of the
Caribbean. Then work from there.
Pirates of the Caribbean was obnoxious.
Yeah.
I don't care much about what happened with him and Amber Heard. Because I don't know what happened. All I know is he is a drug addict that people pamper. Anyways, my sister had some friends over in the living room, including Emmy.
Yeah.
They were just talking about random stuff.
Yeah.
Until someone brought up Johnny Depp.
Ugh.
And now the girls are oogling all over the thought of him.
Yeah.
And just talking about how attractive he is.
Yeah.
After 2 minutes of them rambling on, I finally stood my ground. And I said, I don't like him. He pisses me off and I can't stand him. Then it got all quiet and someone tried to change the subject.
Yeah.
But I jumped right back on it to make sure they all knew.
Yeah. Well,
I told them how Johnny Depp is a coward and he's pathetic. Everyone then decided they wanted to go somewhere else after that.
Yeah.
Once everyone left, my sister told me. Once everyone left, my sister told me why I am so cringe. I told her I was just speaking my mind. She said I only said all of that because of Emmy. Also stating that I don't have a shot with Emmy.
Well, great.
She only says this because she thinks it would be weird for her brother to date one of her best friends.
That's the only reason she said it.
It will not be, by the way, it's perfectly normal for these things to occur. I told her, look, I'm just tired of hearing about Johnny Depp, and it is unnecessary to ramble on about him.
Uh-huh.
After hearing my sister bicker for 5 minutes straight, I decided to storm right out of her place. What's everyone's thoughts on this? Is it bad for me to share my opinion?
Uh-huh.
My feelings for Emmy have nothing to do with it.
Well, what was the response?
Well, let's see. Someone says here, are you sure you're 42 years old? Because you sound like you're 15. Another person saying, no way you're 42. You got to be 17 years old. Someone here saying, no, you're not a jerk. You're entitled to your opinion. Someone else saying, are you sure you're in your 40s? Okay. I expect emotional outbursts like this from four-year-old toddlers. Wow.
He's a coward?
Johnny Depp is a coward and a drug addict that people pamper.
Oh, I really enjoyed these stories.
And Emmy, I think I love you. Do it that as you wish.
And don't tell me that it's impossible for someone to fall for his sister's friend. It happens all the time.
But you started off by saying she's not responsive to your advances.
No.
Like you yourself started this whole thing.
It's aware of the fact.
Listen.
This isn't
It is not
so
impossible
far.
For someone to date a friend of a sister.
Right.
So let's knock that out of the park right now.
Right. That sort of thing can happen.
And as for Mr. Johnny Depp, I find him too flamboyant, but I did enjoy the cologne he did with Dior.
I don't know what happened with him and Amber Heard. How could I know?
Frankly, it's none of my business what happened with those two. And I don't like any of his movies. But I'll tell you this. I am using his Dior cologne as a signature scent.
And I hope Emmy likes it.
And if that doesn't drive Emmy crazy, then I'm out $7.98.
Uh-huh. So must have got the small bottle.
Don't sit here in your own house and tell me I don't have a chance with your friend who has shown zero interest in me.
That sort of thing happens all the time.
It happens.
Oh, boy.
No, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to get my stuff out of the truck.
That was quite a trio of stories.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed. We're right back with more Dave and Darren.
I don't know how much advice I could offer.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, on behalf of myself,
uh-huh.
Anthony Newley, Paul Williams, Lola Falana, and who else?
The Beatles.
Who else was on that? Myself, Anthony Dowley, Anthony Newley.
Bernadette Peters.
We'd like to thank the Beatles, not only for their music, but for an era.
The age... of Aquarius.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, downloading, subscribing. If you get a chance, if you haven't left a review, leave a review somewhere and tell people you're enjoying whatever this is. Until we get a chance to do another one for you, hang loose, Kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Well, it was fun. I'm going to go take a nap now, and then I think I'm going to call some hospitals.
And that's how she wrote.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.